This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors and have done so for 25 years. You know, this version of the show, The Outdoorsman, aired in April of 2004. So 10 years in this deal. So, yeah, just a passing note, you know, no big deal, nor is it going to make history anywhere. It's just in my mind. And maybe yours, I don't know. But we came back after about, I don't know, how long were we off? Year and a half, something like that. So, and that was the old Maryland Sportsman Show. So, here we are, though. Moving along, getting stronger every day, hoping we reach you and inform you and entertain you and sometimes make you laugh. We want to talk to you about anything you want to talk to today. We'll talk with you today. How's that sound? You guys can run the show by your phone calls. If we take a direction, we'll go there for a while, and then I'll try to drag us back on course. Not much for me in the outdoors this week. It was a very stressful week. My daughter, you know, I mentioned Jacob all the time, his mom, Heather, in brief, had surgery this week, extensive surgery, complicated surgery, and she's recovering. She's recovering slowly, but she's recovering. So, you know, those of you who are want to pray every now and then, or maybe not, just lift up Heather in your prayers for us this week. We appreciate it very much. So, she's improving every day, but it was rough and it was sudden. That was the thing. So, enough of that. Good news is our creative director, Donna, got out of the hospital and rehab this week. She had been incapacitated with some other health concerns for about 6 weeks. So, if I have sounded like I've been under a little bit of pressure or stress the last few weeks, probably right. Probably have been. However, we have to continue to press on and be professional and be informative and stay on top of the issues. Lots happening out there. Lots happening behind the scenes. There's a tremendous amount of good news out there. There's some bad news, but we're looking forward to the next week to see what Governor O'Malley does with a number of hunting bills. You know, we had pro Sunday hunting bills passed in Western Maryland during the General Assembly to expand Sunday hunting, and of course the people who are the anti hunters and the animal activists have like the bird people, the ornithological society, and the and the Maryland Horse Council have, you know, protested that bill. They want the governor to veto it. The bill that expanded the deer season, the firearm season, through January, February, and March in southern Maryland, three counties in southern Maryland, that would be Calvert, Charles, and St. Mary's County. The Wildlife Advisory Commission has requested that the governor veto that bill. Not that it is an expansion of opportunities to hunt, but it is basically a hijacking of management away from the science-based Department of Natural Resources and putting it into the hands of the politicians, which is never, let me repeat, Wildlife Resources Management or Fisheries Management in the hands of the politicians is never, ever a good thing. We have people who are trained. We have people who are boots on the ground. We have people who do tremendous research. We have people who know how to take that research and extrapolate it into data that will predict or project population trends of fish and wildlife. And when you get someone who meddles in that based on political influence or contributions, then, you know, the whole structure changes and the whole way of doing things, the whole science-based research has been skewed by somebody who has a purpose. Now, do the managers always manage 100% correctly? Not necessarily, because the managers, quite frankly, are bureaucrats. They are employees of the state. Who is the state run by? The state is run by the administration. What is the administration? The administration is politicians. So, yeah, it is a mess. There's no question about it. No question about it. So, with our vast natural resources here in Maryland, we have a lot of influences. We have, for example, let me just, this came out this week. You may have read about the, a couple things this week, the blue crab winter dredge survey. If you read about the work that is done by the biologists, the boots on the ground folks, they go out. They start with the blue crab survey and monitor 1,500 sites across the bay. Hold on. Almost sneezed. They dredge areas of the bottom in 1,500 locations. They take the results. They put together the winter dredge survey, and whatever the numbers are. Okay? However, those are the boots on the ground people. Those are the people that do the research. However, there are politics come into play when it comes to upper level management of those resources. Politics comes into play. When the results are not positive, the people who write the information to present to the public have to write what they know, and they have to put it out there for the public consumption, for the newspapers to print, for me to talk about on the radio. And that goes through a vetting process, and that vetting process, you know, is done by a committee or a number of people up and down the management strata who are state employees who have ascended into positions of leadership. So that's how that all works. The press release, by the way, was written by D.N. Ruser, who we've discussed last week as nobody knows who D.N. Ruser is. I think it's D.N.R. user, but that would simply be, you know, my looking at it as a pseudonym, I guess is a better term, for somebody who doesn't want to be identified with the information. But that's me. I'm not suspicious or anything. 410 WCBM 680 is our phone number, 410-922-6680. That's from the Baltimore dialing area. Outside of that, I mean, on your cell phone, that's fine. But outside of that, if you're on the landline, it's 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. And we are taking your phone calls. We're interested in hearing what you would have to say, what you've heard about this week. Did you hear about the watermen surrounding the DNR oyster spat boat or the oyster shell boat down on the little chop tank? Did you hear about the blue crab winter dredge survey? Did you hear about those two stories in the news this week? Do any of those stories interest you or concern you? Because that's what I've got on my plate today, to talk about the blue crab population, to talk about oysters, if you like, or to talk about anything you want to talk about. So, we're waiting for your first call or your first email to kick it off. And the email address is Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, at ellisoutdoors.com. So, and I'm typing my email username and password into the email right now to see if anybody sent us anything overnight. You got to understand, when I'm in the middle of doing what I do, and some certain times of day and some certain days of the week, I get 40, 50, 60 emails a day, some business-related, some not. So, all right, here's one from our buddy John. Okay. Well, Brian, what do you think? Think we need to take a break and let the folks call? I think that's what we'll do. We'll take a short break. And we'll let them call. I was in Clyde's Sports Shop yesterday, and I was looking at some of the firearms there. I was, you know, kind of keeping my eye out for a decent turkey gun. Although I have enough jobs that'll get enough guns that'll get the job done. Just, you know, you never have the perfect one. So I was looking at the Brownings, which Clyde specializes in. I mean, they specialize in all the Brownings. The BPS pump with the bottom ejection, available in 410 through 10 gauge. I was looking at the A5, the new A5. I was looking at some Browning, some other Browning guns, some firearms, the X-Bolts. I was looking at some handguns. I was just, you know, shopping a little bit, that's all. And, of course, they have all the fishing supplies, too, all the bait that you could need, one, or imagine, a Clyde Sports Shop. Now, they're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, just off Beltway Exit 9. They've got great services like rod and reel repair. They'll take care of your firearms, too. They'll clean them up here during the off-season. They'll put a new scope on for you. They'll bore sight it. Whatever you need them to do, they can take care of it. Service and merchandise and, you know, knowledgeable folks that can help you out as far as any kind of fishing technique, Clyde Sports Shop. Why don't you check them out? 410-242-6108 or call the fishing hotline, 410-247-3474. That'll tell you where the fish are biting, what they're biting on. 410-247-FISH. If you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 33rd Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 2nd, Saturday, May 3rd, and Sunday, May 4th. Admission is only $8 for the weekend. Over 120 exhibitors and artists display paintings and prints, sculptures and carvings, photography, and sportsman's collectibles. The family-friendly festival has great food and lots to see and do. The annual live auction is 5:30 p.m. on Saturday at the Activity Center. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the Activity Center. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake Bay at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739. See you at the Decoy Festival.
It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his voice, the way he makes his living. I'm talking about the man, talking about the water man. I'm talking about the man trying to line the crabs, tonguing oysters and working the beef. Talking about the man who makes his living on the water every day. I'm talking about the man, talking about the water man.
Good morning, Mark. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Good. What effect is all this rain going to have on the salinity in the bay? We know effect that on.
Yeah, it's,
what will it do to the wildlife and the crabs?
Well, you know, we've had a number of storms in the last few years, and it has always been detrimental. Have you been across any of the bridges? Have you been across the Bay Bridge, the Key Bridge, or to see what the water looks like?
Oh, Alan, I don't even go to 28th Street.
Oh, well, there you go.
Is there a 28th Street?
Yeah, I don't know. I went across the Key Bridge yesterday, and it was like a patchwork quilt. I mean, the tide moves the water around. I mean, the muddy water and the clear water and the fresh water. I mean, it moves it all around. But there's it looked like coffee with a lot of cream in it as far as the mud is concerned coming down from the Susquehanna. I mean, tremendous amount of rain. And it did hurt the striped bass bite a little bit the last couple days, although, it moved the bite from even as far up as Love Point and beyond down to below Bloody Point because of all the mud, and the fish don't like the mud. They tend to move away from it. As far as what it's going to do, the influx of the freshwater is going to do the crabs, hard to say. You know, we had a pretty rough spring here, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
And I think that hurt our crab population. I don't think this is helping it.
Yeah, and the time of year is not good.
Time of year is terrible. So we've got a spawn going on with the rockfish. Who knows what the young of the year of next year is going to look like after this spring. I can't say anything positive for the rain. You know, it just...
It's just one of those things.
Well, you know, there needs...
Unlucky.
It's not unlucky. There's things that can be done.
Yeah.
We've got a tremendous amount of silt built up behind the Conowingo Dam. I mean, you know, some estimates are like 100 feet of silt, you know, right behind the dam. It needs to be dredged out of there. That area needs to be cleaned up. We need to have a clean flow of water that doesn't hit that big pile of silt and sludge, before it comes through the bottom of the dam. And that's where part of the problem lies. So a part of the problem. I mean, there's no question that the runoff is unbelievable, but there's other things that can be done, too. So.
Yeah, but that's then you're turning.
Yeah.
It's like having hunting season turned over to the politicians.
You've
got people making that decision.
Those folks in Southern Maryland are not happy.
Yeah, why would they be? How could anybody be?
Well, you can't be. I mean, and of course the horse people aren't happy either. But
well, that's good.
You know,
there's some good come out of there. It's no good, Alan.
I have nothing against individual horse owners. I mean, I know people that ride, and you know they love their horses, and that's fine. But you know they act like we're out there shooting at them. You know, I mean, it's just a bad.
They've got no skin in the game. They haven't. It's all the taxes on sportsmen that pay to maintain everything, and then they come in and say.
I'm
preaching to the converted.
I made a request to a wildlife official for a list of properties that was purchased by Pittman Robertson funds. This is the federal matching funds that comes to DNR every year to purchase land and to promote hunter safety. Only two purposes. Well, I mean, they can use it to manage some wildlife management stuff, but most of that stuff is general funds, hunting license money, you know, the salaries and all that.
Yeah.
You can't pay salaries with federal matching funds or things like that. So I made a request to the Department of Natural Resources. Do you have a list of the properties that were purchased with Pittman Robertson funds? Well, I'm sure we have a list around here somewhere, but I think we've added to it with, program open space and this is other kinds of funding and, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Thank you for not helping. So went on U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Contact us if you have any questions. Do you have a list of all the properties in Maryland purchased by Pittman Robertson funds? Thank you for, contacting us. So we'll do what we can to, answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, got a list of all the Pittman Robertson properties from 1940. Yeah. Yeah.
I am surprised.
You know, so I was like, this huge, giant spreadsheet of stuff. I can't even read it all, you know, in one screen.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So, hey, you just got to know how to ask the right question to the right people, I guess.
Yeah, and if you want to know how much land was bought by the horsemen,
yeah,
they can send you a blank piece of paper.
Exactly. Yes.
So what's the story about the watermen surrounding the...
I am glad you ask. Another storm in the within.
By the way, did you hear the bumper music about thank the man who cuts the bait and harvests crabs?
Did I hear it? I requested it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's right. Yeah.
A group of watermen.
It's a coincidence.
This is from WPOC or BOC in Salisbury. Excuse me. The update: watermen protest Maryland oyster project in Dorchester County. A group of watermen took the day off work Thursday to protest and block a project by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources in the Little Choptank River in Dorchester County. They got a late start Thursday morning, but their catch of the day wasn't crab. It was a boat delivering workers to a barge in the Little Choptank River. The watermen are opposed to the idea of putting a layer of fossilized oyster shells along 187 acres of clear bottom in the river to provide a hard substrate for oyster spat to cling to, creating a new oyster bed. The DNR said this will provide an ecosystem for thousands of oysters, which can further speed up efforts to clean the Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries, such as the Little Choptank, as well as provide habitat for crabs and fish.
Yeah, because they are the natural filter.
However, watermen are not in agreement. I added the however. They say the project would cover up the mud that the crabs will soon be crawling out of and make the area unharvestable in the future. During Thursday's protest, the watermen were in 11 boats and stopped a crane from putting the shells in the river at 6 a.m. Almost 5 hours later, the Maryland Environmental Service ordered the work to be shut down for the day before even one shovelful had been out in the river. Dwayne Paul, a waterman from Church Creek, says the number of watermen and boats was instrumental in their success. I think it's going to take that many and a lot more. We need all the help we can get, and now's the time to stand up for it, said Paul. Tom O'Connell, Director of Fisheries, says the protest was unfortunate, public tax money not spent well on Thursday. He said the department has started getting feedback from watermen in Dorchester County since January, and they've been sending responses to all inquiries. He says so far the groups have not put forward any scientific evidence to support the claim that the fossil shells would damage the environment in the river. Some watermen say they believe the DNR is jumping the gun on the project because a public comment period was open until May 9th concerning the project. O'Connell clarified that the state had the permit to begin spreading fossil shells since 2008, and the current public comment period was open for a second permit that would allow them to also spread in shallower waters. Scott Todd, president of the Dorchester Seafood Harvesters Association and one of the organizers of the protest, said the shells in the barge he found on Thursday were worse than he expected. The stuff that's in that barge is not shells. I don't know what it is. It's just mostly sludge and mud, and it's nothing that anything is going to stick to and get a spat set on, said Todd. But O'Connell says every shipment of shell was thoroughly inspected before leaving Florida. Each shipment contains a maximum of 5% of what he called fine materials. He did acknowledge that a few shipments did have a coating of clay-like material. Todd said he's concerned about that these shells weren't cleaned enough and could have the potential to introduce disease. Todd's argument, and an argument of many watermen, is why use the shells from Florida when several hundred acres of shells already exist buried under the silt and need to be dredged up? The shells are there. We saw them on our depth sounders here. We can see that shells are 10 or 12 inches under. There are plenty of shells there. We didn't have to go to Florida to buy shells, said Todd. O'Connell says their plan does use those shells, providing a base for the fossilized oysters to sit on top of, making the shells stick out of the mud and giving spats something to cling to. Some watermen said the project could devastate crabbing this season in the Little Choptank by burying the crabs under a layer of shell before they can dig out of the mud. But the DNR says crabs come out of the mud when the water temperature hits 52 degrees, and the current temperature is in the mid-50s. DNR started spreading the shells on Tuesday. Now you know. Still there, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you know.
Well.
So, this led to a list of frequently asked questions on the Little Chop Tank Oyster Restoration Project. And I've got a whole list of questions. What's the DNR's current oyster strategy? How did the agencies choose the Little Chop Tank? Are the necessary permits and paperwork in place? Is it lawful for the agencies to use oyster shell from out of state? The shells look dirty. Does this material have too many fine particles attached to it? What studies have the agency conducted to ensure that the shells are healthy for the bay? What alternatives has DNR considered to the importation of fossilized shell from Florida? How will the project affect the crabs? And I think that is the question that the watermen want to know.
Yeah, and also following the money trail. Who got paid for the shells?
Oh. Do I come across as cynical? You know, that question, that frequently asked question isn't on the list of frequently asked questions.
Yeah, I bet it's not, because it's not as that question is not asked frequently enough.
That's pretty good.
Even paranoids have their enemies, Alan.
Let's see. Are the necessary permits and paperwork in place to do this work? Permit number so-and-so, alternate materials placement has been in place since 2008 and allows planting of alternate materials in waters deeper than 9 feet. An additional permit is being sought to allow planting materials in more shallow waters as described in that permit application. And then there's details on that that you can click to. Is it lawful for the agencies to use oyster shells from out of state? Section 4-11A-13 of the Natural Resources Article of the Maryland Annotated Code prohibits importing and planting oyster shells from outside of Maryland without departmental approval. Must be noted that this code applies to oyster shell taken from waters outside the state. The materials we're using from Florida is fossilized shell, mined 30 to 40 feet under dry land when they were deposited in the late Pliocene epoch, about 3 million years ago, and is geologically classified as stone. Material is no longer oyster shell, nor was it taken from waters. Therefore, the statute does not apply to this material. What do you think of that?
I'm no geologist, so I'm really not qualified, but clearly they've got to do something to restore these oyster bars. And the problem is DNR actually does a lot, my understanding is, to reestablish oysters, and then the commercial watermen come in and they destroy the bar before it ever has a chance to take effect.
That's why there were over 90 citations issued for watermen who were plunging their oyster tongs into the oyster sanctuaries that were established. You see the...
And then they get hit with these insignificant little fines.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, some of them are pretty significant, but it's, you know, we've invested a tremendous amount of money and time into this oyster restoration project under the current administration in an attempt to clean up the bay. And, you know, I will tell you this, the last two oyster seasons have been dramatic as far as their amount of oysters. And, you know, the oyster market has been pretty darn good for the folks down that are in that business.
And in fairness, most of them are decent guys, hardworking, trying to make an honest living. You've got a bunch of scofflaws who are a small minority who are destroying it for everybody, not just for them, but everybody. They're destroying the bay.
And
hard decisions have to be made. I saw where Torrey Brown passed away.
Yes, he did.
And he... He was an interesting guy. He was a brilliant man.
Mm-hmm. No question.
And he made the hard decision to have a moratorium on rockfish.
He did.
But look at the benefit, because he was willing to do that.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. We had talked about some watermen. There's a group of watermen out there, one of them in particular, who called me and sent me a tremendous amount of paperwork. And you see him often in the halls of Annapolis. And you see his name on the NRP blotter every now and then too, but he wouldn't go on the show because I'm on my boat and I'm doing this and okay, that's fine. You know, he calls me and wants me to give the information out to the listeners, but then he won't come on and identify himself. So, you know, to me, that discounts his credibility, quite frankly. Yeah. So anyway, he wrote to a local brewing company because one of their products, the profits from one of their products would go to the oyster recovery program. He promised that 3,000 watermen would storm their facility and protest their product. What do you think of that? Where's Harry Reid when we need him?
Start it, Alan. It's too early.
Is that or is that not domestic terrorism? I'm asking a question. I'm not calling anybody anything.
Well, use Harry Reid to start an oyster bar, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, my. Thank you for your call, Mark.
Your daughter will be in my prayers.
Thank you. She needs them.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yep. Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. There we go. All right. There's Edward, Northern Parkway. Good morning, Edward. How you doing?
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. What's up?
I got a little bit of information for you about polluting the Chesapeake Bay.
Please.
You know, it's getting to be close to the Preakness.
Okay.
And the city is out trying to put all the lipstick on the pig that they can.
Okay.
They were out on Northern Parkway day before yesterday with your big mowers. They haven't cut the grass on the median strip since last fall. So they're mowing the grass, and these big mowers are blowing it off to the side in the curb, in the gutter. And here comes the little Mexican with the backpack blower, and he blows all the grass right into the storm drains.
That's where it's supposed to go.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that where it's supposed to go? Hey, you can't have it on the sidewalk. Yeah,
I can't understand where their mind is. I mean, it just...
Edward.
Yes.
Did you contact the company that was doing that, or is it the city?
It was the city.
Okay. Well, then you're going to have to contact the city planners and say, look, here's what's happening, and see what kind of answer you get. I don't know what kind of answer you're going to get. Or you could call the Maryland Department of the Environment and say, I think you need to investigate this. You might have something there. Look at the mentality of the person who's blowing the stuff in the storm drain. He's getting rid of it. He was told to get rid of it. They're not going to bag it. What are they going to do with it? They're not going to let it on the street to dry and look nasty. They've been told to clean up the place. So, hey, let's kick the dust under the rug or the grass down the storm drain. You know?
Yeah. The other question I have is all this talk about the runoff into the bay and the pollution in the bay and what we're going to do about it and who we're going to bend over the table and so forth and so on. Have they addressed the... what's coming down the bay from Pennsylvania and New York?
Well, they've tried to, you know. And what do you think that is?
What do I think it is?
Yeah, what do you think it is?
I think it's probably a good percent of the pollution that's in the bay.
You think so? You really think so? That's a good part of the pollution. What do you think it is that's coming down there through the river system?
Whatever's in the river from whatever's in the bay from Maryland.
No, I mean, what's coming down from Pennsylvania and New York that concerns you? What is it?
The farm runoff, the same as the farm runoff here in Maryland.
So you've been marketed by that. Okay. All right. But what about the 400 locations in Maryland where they bring human waste that's been processed and spread it on our farm fields? What about the myriad of unreported sewage spills from overflows in sewage treatment plants here in Maryland and line breaks in Baltimore City that have flooded and polluted the Inner Harbor and the Chesapeake Bay with millions and millions of gallons of untreated human waste. You're going to blame a few cows up in Pennsylvania for taking a dump and washing that into the river and saying that that's the problem. That's not the problem.
It's not the problem. It's part of the problem.
Okay. Edward, I appreciate the call. Thank you. You have a good day. Okay. Trying to make a point. That's all. Just trying to make a point. Chesapeake Outdoors, located on Kent Island, is ready for rockfish season. They've been having a good season, no question about it. The season will continue to be strong, and they've got the bait. They've got a full selection of bucktails and parachutes, even those big mojo parachute lures that are 16, 20, 24 ounces for the deep water striped bass in custom colors. And a huge selection of striped bass trolling lures. They have rods and reels and tackle. They have a brand new line winder. They'll wind line on your trolling reels for you if you want. A great selection of good trolling line, too. They got the Bubba Blade knives that you can use to fillet your fish. A great selection of live bait. Let's not forget, they have Matthews and Mission bows and compound and crossbows. They have the Barnett crossbows. They have Parker bows and crossbows to get you ready for the archery season. And, of course, full selection of guns and ammo, and you can special order stuff, too. It's Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Stop by and see them. They're on Route 50, right off of the Bay Bridge, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road, 39B on Kent Island. Their staff can help you find anything you can need, anything you need. They have a full selection of live bait for any type of fishing and all types of fishing tackle as well. 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500, and that's Chesapeake Outdoors. If you enjoy decoy collecting and great wildlife art, waterfowl hunting, or a scenic walk along the bay, it's time for the 33rd Annual Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum. This year's event is Friday evening, May 2nd, Saturday, May 3rd, and Sunday, May 4th. Admission is only $8 for the weekend. Over 120 exhibitors and artists display paintings and prints, sculptures and carvings, photography, and sportsman's collectibles. The family-friendly festival has great food and lots to see and do. The annual live auction is 5:30 p.m. on Saturday at the Activity Center. Free shuttle buses run between the museum, the middle school, and the Activity Center. Learn about the great hunting traditions of the Chesapeake Bay at the Decoy and Wildlife Art Festival at the Havre de Grace Decoy Museum on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. For more information, visit decoymuseum.com or call 410-939-3739. See you at the Decoy Festival. If you enjoy gardening, I always recommend Schellinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Papa John's greenhouses are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers. Annuals by the pack or flat, and perennials by the pot. Bedding plants, planters, and hanging baskets, too. Colorful pansies, impatiens, and petunias. They even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes, squash, onions, watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers and herbs, too. Papa John's Farm, just off I-97 at exit 12. That's 8029 New Cut Road in Severn. You can drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections or call 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's for your garden or for your church. Mother's Day's coming soon, May 11th. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schellinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer.
Catonsville Linux is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did, with a Linux spray-on bed liner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W.
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Because that's all the rock fishermen out there. Riding real pro-am today, MSSA tournament today, the rockfish are surrounded. No escape.
Taking the line.
So much chartreuse and white in the bay. You'll be having flashbacks. Who was first? Guy in Highland Town and then Bruce in Baltimore. Good morning, Guy. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. I just caught the tail end of it, your last caller.
That
pollution in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of hit a nerve with me. Before we got all this heavy rain, heavy downpour,
mm-hmm.
we had a pretty good fish kill. Menhaden, I believe it was. And that's what the rockfish sort of munch on constantly when they come up here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. And what killed the menhaden?
I have no idea. I heard about a little bit of it on TV, and EPA or nobody's put up any kind of explanation.
Hmm.
I was wondering, well, you're very knowledgeable in it, you know, this, and I was just wondering.
Well,
could
have been a couple things. I mean, there's a number of things that will trigger a fish kill.
Was it really hot or nothing like that?
It doesn't have to be. It can be a rain pulse, a sudden influx of fresh water that will kill fish like that are trapped in a sudden, change of salinity and water temperature. That can happen. It can be pollution. It can be temperature, and I don't know if there was a sudden drop in temperature. I'm speculating because I didn't hear about the fish kill. That you tell me that there was one. Where was this fish kill?
Well, it ran from the mouth of Potomac to the Inner Harbor.
I think I would have heard about that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, that is what rockfish eat. No question about it. Among other things, I mean, there are other bait fish in the bay too. But that's their number one target for sure. So that's your concern, that the food resource has been depleted?
Yeah, it seems like it happens before, you know, any kind of algae plume or mm-hmm. or anything, you know, for the before we got the heavy rain or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's got to be out there polluting us. Somebody's got to be dumping something in the bay, and the EPA says nothing about it. We spend tax money every year. They take this, they take that, sewage and all this. And like the other caller said, every time we get a heavy rain, all that raw sewage goes right into the bay.
Oh, this was just a couple days ago. Is that what you're telling me?
Before
we got the rain? No.
Yeah, before we got the rain. Before all the rain came down.
Hundreds of dead fish are floating to the surface in the Inner Harbor in Patapsco River, not Potomac River.
Okay, Patapsco.
Right now, it's a mystery. What's causing it? Investigators with the Department of the Environment are now testing the water to figure out what killed hundreds of fish. From Fort McHenry to Fells Point and Canton out to Patapsco, up to 1,000 dead fish have floated to the surface of the water. Every year about this time, there seems to be a problem with the fish, says Canton resident Mary Hine. State officials are testing the water. We don't think it's a result of a sewage spill or any type of big pollution overrun. It's most likely a natural process, but we just don't know, said Hal Vandergag, Blue Water Baltimore. She says problems like this have far-reaching impact. You eat fish down below. It scares me, blah, 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 blah. If my computer would sit still for a second, this was a report on April 28th. If I remember correctly, the rain started on Tuesday, correct?
It was before the rain.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer.
But it seems, you know, it's...
I mean, look,
it we... It just really bites that, you know...
Well, it does bite. No question about it. But Guy, I will tell you this. If it's 1,000 dead fish, if it's 2,000 dead fish, if it's 5,000 dead fish, it's a minuscule amount of fish.
Yeah, but wouldn't that keep a lot of them from coming up here to spawn?
Oh. Guy, I don't know. You mean rockfish or what?
Well, yeah. Well, you can't fish them here right now, but...
Would a fish kill prevent rockfish from coming up here to spawn? Or would pollution keep rockfish from coming up here to spawn?
Well, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
There's no bait fish here for them to eat.
I don't think the spawning grounds are predicated on bait fish and its availability. But let me look into it, see what we come up with.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Guy. Appreciate it. And Bruce, hang on till the next hour or call back right after the 6 o'clock news, and we'll get you on first. I apologize for the wait. Just couldn't get to you in time. Thanks. All right. Well, there's the end of the first.